You're listening to Atlanta Baseball Talk, your weekly podcast for all things Atlanta Braves.
Welcome to Atlanta Baseball Talk and show number 344. Today is Sunday, July 31st, 2016, and my name is Hamilton. Continuing to mix it up on you guys this week. No Steve, he's on vacation, but I am joined by Curtis. Curtis, how are you?
I am a little banged up. I'm just letting people know that. Got a nice head cold, so if I have to cut off for a second, it's because I'm having a dying coughing fit. So don't worry about me, but I will be fine. But I am committed, so committed to the show that I'm here fighting through it.
And this is the byproduct of going to see Guns N' Roses in your mid-40s for 3 hours.
Yes. Hell of a show. If anybody is still available to see them on their tour, Steve's not here, so we can actually talk about personal stuff. But one of the most amazing shows I've seen in a long time, and I expected nothing. I figured it was going to be a bad nostalgia tour. It was unbelievable.
Wow.
3 hours, completely rocking. They sound awesome. Go see Guns N' Roses.
Wow. Nice. All right. So before we get to it, folks, remember you can find us always at AtlantaBaseballTalk.com. You can find us at our relatively new home. We've been here all season of blogtalkradio.com, where you can also find other great podcasts, not only about baseball, about all kinds of things. You can follow us on Twitter at ATL Baseball Talk and check out our Facebook page. And always please tell your friends or other Braves fans that you know about Atlanta Baseball Talk. So Curtis, on tonight's show, we'll discuss the demotion of Matt. I love the long ball Whistler. We'll talk about Adonis and Freddie getting it done at the plate, and we'll look at some of the offense in the pipeline down on the farm. But first, Curtis, we have some new Braves. Two big trades this week, and there may be more to come by the time folks listen to the show. But there's two so far. I think they may have elicited a lot of opinions. Apparently on Twitter you can express your opinion about things. I didn't know this, but I should check that out.
But S Steve.
Yeah. So why don't we ease into this and start with the less controversial trade. So right after a very impressive start on Tuesday against the Twins, Lucas Harrell teamed up with Dario Alvarez to form the Scrap Heap Rejects. And head to Texas. And in return, the Rangers sent us back infield prospect Travis Demeritt. A bit about Demeritt real quickly. He was a first-round pick. He's the 20th among Rangers prospects and 28th per Baseball America or for the Rangers. He struggled last season. Of course, he's had an 80-game PED suspension, so welcome to the Braves. But at AAA, he batted .272, .352, .583 with 25 home runs and 13 stolen bases. So it's not AAA, sorry, Class A advanced affiliate. So a lot of power. He's a second baseman. It's not like we have a huge dearth of options at middle infield prospects right now. But I'm okay with that. So Curtis, your thoughts on this?
Well, this seems to be the MO of John Coppolella, and clearly the thing that he is making, other than these big trades that pull on in all these prospects, their ability to pull these guys off the scrap heap. And you know, we've seen it twice with Kelly Johnson. I mean, you think about the players that they pulled over in some of these trades, and frankly, their only reason they're signing some of these veteran players is in the hope that they will have a productive half a season and that they will be able to trade them away to somebody and get prospects back for them. We got Rob Whalen, we got John Gant, and now we've gotten Demeritt, and it's extraordinary. I mean, it's an extraordinary approach for a team that obviously he's not going to win a lot of games, and frankly, you're giving some of these guys their only option to have a major league career at this point, and then to be able to turn them around. And I'm sure they're not done again for this year. I know we're going to talk more about looming trades or potential trades, but it's extraordinary. And I mean, who knows if this guy's going to make it, but you know, it's another player to add to the mix of what they've got going on. You could move this guy to the outfield. Maybe he can be a third baseman. I mean, it's just he's another player that you can have in the mix. Maybe he's a bench player, or maybe he's a piece that they trade at some point and get something else for him. I mean, it's just for Lucas Harrell, who was out of the league, was pitching in Taiwan or something like that, or in Korea. And a guy that the Mets had just released that they picked up for nothing. You know, I mean, it's amazing that they got anything out of these guys, and to get a top 20 rated player in anybody's farm system for him, it's amazing.
Yeah, it's like a free pick. It's like, if you can just let me wait 3 months and I get a free pick from your farm system. It is pretty great. And I think we've been tough on Copy and the front office, but in many cases, right, there's always the number one picks and the people you know, but then in the fringes, it's always about taking flyers on people and hitting on them, right? And the more flyers you're able to take, or the better, you know, this is like a higher valued flyer because he's just a better prospect. But being able to take a lot of flyers on people is what gives you chances to win. And so maybe Demeritt is a piece, right?
He did just play in the futures game, so it's not like he's just a complete, no-name guy. I mean, like you said, he was a first-round pick. So
right.
Obviously there's a pretty high expectation. I mean, he's leading whatever league, Carolina League, or not the Carolina League, I think it's Triple-A, but whatever the league that he was in, he had more home runs than – by a wide margin over the next player in the league. So
yeah,
and they need some power in their farm system. I mean, that's one of the things we've talked about a lot, is really that talk about a dearth. I mean, they have no power hitting in their farm system whatsoever, save one or two guys. So that's an aspect that they need to start to approach as well. So hey, for yeah. Lucas Harrell and Dario Alvarez, again, you got a piece that can potentially fill some slot somewhere.
Yeah, two people we didn't think would be Braves at the beginning of the season. We will not forget them when they are gone, you know, or remember them by the end of the season, except for what we got. So speaking of power, or adding power to the team, there was another more marquee trade this week, and I'm sorry Steve can't be here. I'll try to stand up for his opinion while he's not here. But on Saturday, the Braves flipped fan favorite Hector Oliveira and his rap sheet to the Padres for struggling former All-Star Matt Kemp. The deal's obviously been much discussed and much covered, but the highlights: Braves get Kemp and his $21.5 million salary for each of the next three seasons. Padres get Oliveira and his anger issues and the sunk costs that the Braves had in him no matter what we did this season and the future. Braves got $10.5 million from the Padres to offset some of the salary. And so essentially you add the numbers up here and there. Considering sunk costs, the number that's getting thrown around is that for $8.5 million more a season than what we had sunk in Oliveira, we get Kemp and his .265 average, 23 homers, and little league replacement player defense. Curtis, before I go any further, chime in. What are your thoughts?
Well, you obviously had to get rid of Oliveira. The big debate, of course, that Steve sort of unleashed on Twitter today was the debate about whether it was worth just releasing Oliveira completely and just eating that money, as opposed to bringing in Kemp and taking on the extra money that you're going to have to deal with him. I don't hate it either. The best way I can say it, this isn't Matt Kemp of 3 or 4 years ago when he was one of the best players in baseball. He's an awful defensive player. Yeah. He strikes out effectively a third of every time he comes to bat. So all the talk that we had for so long from the front office, frankly, and from so many people, that really the approach that Frank Wren took with players, that they were all or nothing power hitters, and that had to be purged from the system because we were going to go in a completely different direction and it was going to be OBP and all these things. Well, his OBP is awful.
Yeah. But they were painted in a corner here. I think this is an exception to a longer term strategy. I hear you. But he definitely flies in the face of what we hope is the long term strategy of the team.
Well, but John Hart did come out and say that this is phase two, piece one. He said that today. So, of course, we had talked about the fact that it was Oliveira and that we hoped that he would be the piece of phase two, which was starting to rebuild the major league team.
Yeah.
Now, I get with Kemp's power numbers, obviously, that that's exciting and that's what you're looking at and that's the most important thing. And for a team that doesn't hit any home runs, for a guy that hits 25 home runs, which is basically almost half of what your entire team has hit to this point, that's a big number. That's an important number.
Yep.
I guess my issue is that I can't see that he's going to be – I mean, maybe they're not even going to keep him around. Maybe they hope that he, from this point until the trade deadline next year, has a really productive season for them effectively, and that they then eat some money and then are able to unload him to somebody else for the remainder of his contract. But I don't hate it.
Yeah. I mean, I agree. He's not – he is not the answer. He is not – Terry Pendleton coming in here in the twilight of his career and being the veteran leader of a World Series team. That he is not that guy. But he does have value. He can make this team better. We have no one protecting Freddie. I know this point has been much discussed, but he brings value in that he can protect Freddie. He is all of a sudden the leader in homers on our team.
And RBIs, I think.
Yeah, and RBIs. I mean, he's... I think we'll talk about this in a bit. Markakis, I don't feel, will be on the team for much longer. So we need someone to play outfield. And for $8.5 million, if that's really the added cost, the net-net cost, we are not going to be at the end, looking at the end of the season going, man, if we had had another $8.5 million, we would have been contenders. You know, that's not happening. It's nothing money. So I am fine with this deal. And maybe, you know, I spoke earlier about flyers. Maybe something clicks. Who knows? I mean, I know some of these things are, you know, you can't reverse the regression of some of these stats. He's just getting slower and older. But, I mean, he can still add value in the middle of this lineup. We need other pieces around him. He's not the answer. But for Oliveira, I mean, and we don't, let's not even say we got something for Oliveira. That's a miracle. The fact that we paid only $8.5 million for a three-time All-Star, I don't care about his holes. I think we did more credit to Copy and to Hart to make this deal happen. I can't believe we got something for Oliveira.
And to bring Steve into this, he sent us something, and this is from Gandhi, but it's basically a comparison of Justin Upton, who, you know, there was rumors that the Braves had floated some offers to Justin Upton, which were obviously lowball offers last summer that he ended up not taking and, of course, signed with the Tigers. So Upton is getting $22.125 million a year through 2021 with the Tigers. The Braves, with the Oliveira money that we keep talking about, it's $18 million, then you throw in the Oliveira money, it's $8.5 million. So Upton has a 688 OPS and a negative 0.4 F-war, while Kemp has a 0.774 OPS and a 0.4 F-war.
Positive, yeah. He is one
right.
Higher.
So, you know, it's not that bad.
Yeah.
He's not a bum. I mean, he's not like Prince Fielder or somebody that their career's effectively over and that the only reason they're still around at this point is because they're making so much money. I mean, he can still hit.
Yeah.
And hit for power. I'm assuming it's going to be a pitcher's park, but I frankly don't even know. I mean, like the dimensions of SunTrust Park, surely they're not making it, you know, like the Phillies park or something like that where it's tiny. I mean, obviously if the Braves are going to build around pitching, they can't have a park like that, but
I know it'll be unpopular, whatever they do.
Of course. but yeah, I mean, and it's exciting. I mean, he's a big name.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, he dated Rihanna. Maybe we can get some celeb sightings in
town.
Whoa,
hey now.
Bring it. It's like back to the David Justice, Halle Berry days, you know? I mean, I'm down with a big name being in here, you know? I mean, it's kind of cool.
It is cool. I mean, it's really, I think, sure, we had to take some money on. I think otherwise nothing happens. We quietly release Oliveira in the dark. And just this is – I feel like this is the best we could have made out of this situation. I am happy. All right. So, Curtis, we're going to play a new game called Who Had a Good July in just a second, but let's take a quick break. All right. So, Curtis, a new and maybe one-time-only game of Who Had a Good July, where I bring up a player and we discuss how good of a July they had and how that makes you feel. Since Steve's not here, let's talk about feelings, Curtis. Let's just go completely left here.
Can I use the word tingly? Is that okay?
No, no.
All right.
I may go back and edit that out.
All right.
So let's start with Matt Whistler. Okay. All right.
Sad face.
I know. Before you answer and try to change the name of the game to Worst July Ever, let's take a look at the situation. So in July, he started 5 games. He went 1-4. He over 26 innings, he gave up 38 hits, 28 runs. It was just awful. And had an ERA of 8.89, all of this leading to his demotion earlier this week. So, Curtis, you know, Whistler was supposed to, or is supposed to be one of the pieces for the new Freeman Kemp-led Braves. Does this concern you, the demotion?
The frimp. Yes, actually, this was one of the more unpleasant things that in a season filled with unpleasant things, this has proven to be one of the most distressing. And I know that this is a young player, and obviously I'm not suggesting that we give up on him. But Whistler, after last year, we felt collectively, I believe, that Whistler was the guy that was ready. You know, Fulte had his issues.
Yeah.
Health issues of all these other guys, all this kind of stuff. We talked about his composure. We talked about his maturity and all these things that we were so excited about that he brought to the game.
And we were wrong.
Yeah. He's awful. I mean, he was terrible. He was terrible this month. And I don't know if it's maybe his composure. He's lost his composure.
That's what it is.
And they, you know, they talked about it, and I forget if it was Snitker or if it was Brzezinski or one of the, you know, the obviously the guys that have been around the game for a long time. And I think it affected Aaron Blair the same way, is that they're trying to be too perfect. You know, they're over pitching. And so then when they do have to throw strikes, professional hitters are waiting on them, and they don't have the stuff to get away with that stuff. And they just, it's like they lost trust in their own abilities. And didn't throw strikes, you know. I mean, they were afraid to pitch to contact and things like that. I mean, that's easy for me sitting in my office to say these things, but and I think that's what happened to him. And I hope that obviously that he's a vital part of this whole thing. I mean, I feel like he's still an amazingly important piece
of this
whole plan. These other guys are still developing. They're a lot farther away than Matt Whistler is, so we really need him to go to AAA and dominate and get his confidence back.
Yeah, and I think it's all that it is. He's good in bunches. He's great in bunches, but he's bad in bunches too. And when he's bad, he's horrible. He's just those extremes, and I think it's all mental. He has the stuff. He has the physical and the pitches and the arsenal and all that stuff. He gets in his head, and it just snowballs on him mentally, and then he gets horrible in bunches. So I think it's still early. We were wrong, but I don't think any of this stuff is terminal. I don't think it's not fixable, and I think he still will be a piece. But he's, you know, I'm glad that we have the luxury that we're not counting on him. I think that, you know, the damage to his psyche will hopefully be relatively small. You worry about that, of course.
He said all the right things.
Yeah. And I mean, of course, it's going to be a bummer. I mean, of course, he's wishing. I mean, but, you know, the demotion is just icing on the cake. Certainly, he wishes that he had been pitching better in July. So I think this is a chance for him to build confidence, to work on his mechanics and the repetitions, and just in good situations and bad situations, being able to throw the same pitch, you know, and really just sort of ride the highs and the lows a little bit more evenly. I think it's good for him, and I think it's good for the team. But it's a bummer. I mean, it's a bummer. You're right. I mean, he was that next guy. I mean, he was in all the conversations, Tehran, Whistler, Fulte, and then you go from there.
Well, and to add the last point to this, their starting rotation is in utter shambles right now. I mean, I looked up who the starting pitching. We have two question marks for this week. I mean, we traded Lucas Harrell. We got De La Cruz for 4 innings today, who was great. And I'm not to take anything away from him, but, you know, I assume they're going to try and pitch him again this week, but he was clearly not ready for a full lengthy start. So,
Casey Kelly was supposed to pitch today, wasn't he? And then he got
yeah, Oh, I didn't even see that he got hurt. But yeah, he was the guy that they had obviously talked about. So I don't know what the status. I should have checked on Williams Perez and some of those guys that have been hurt but are just not ready to come back. So who knows what the situation is going to be this week.
This may be a recurring theme in our week ahead predictions later on in the show. All right, so let's shift gears, Curtis. Let's turn that frown upside down. And talk about Adonis Garcia. So, and he's someone we haven't checked in on a lot lately. But just to set the scene, his July, he's been hitting .300, .337, .370, .537 is a .900 OPS, better than Matt Kemp. Three homers, 12 RBIs, getting a lot of hits, 12 runs, producing. So Curtis, I guess the question is for Adonis, what do you think his ultimate journey as a Brave is? You know, is he part of the next chapter? We're going to talk about some of our third base options in a little while. Is he just, tending the register until someone, the next phase comes along? Or are we going to be great in other positions and just let him be Adonis on this team?
I feel like I've championed Adonis a lot on this show, and I don't understand why everyone is saying.
Hey, I loved him before you did.
Maybe so.
Yes.
That is probably true.
Yeah.
But it seems that he's easily dismissed, and I'm not sure. And maybe it's, again, as we've talked about, that this team is so bad that these bright spots become brighter. But I don't think that's fair to him. I think he's legitimate. He's a legitimate hitter. His defense has gotten a lot better. I mean, there would be, honestly, to me, there are worse things that could happen next year than to not overspend for some third baseman or push some guy up to the majors that's not ready, somebody like Leo Ruiz.
He's not blocking anybody.
Just have Adonis Garcia play third base again. And maybe if you have Freeman, Kemp, Garcia, 3, 4, 5, maybe he even sees better pitches. Maybe he hits more home runs. I mean, he's not like he's 400. I mean, he's only 31 years old.
Yeah, exactly.
So, I have no problem with Adonis being part of this team. And even further, that's why I asked before. I don't understand why people aren't beating down the Braves' door to try and trade for this guy, even as a DH.
Well, he surprised us, and I think he came out of nowhere. And maybe there's just people want to see a little bit more of it before they believe it. But
he did this last year.
No, I agree. I can't explain it because if I were them, I certainly would think that he would be of value, and I think the Braves would be willing to trade him if they.
I think they'd be silly not to, and I frankly think they could get some return for him. And maybe that's what it is. Maybe the Braves are asking for too much for him. Or
other teams are just undervaluing him.
But I think he's great, and I think he'd be a great bench player. He'd be a perfect guy to have off the bench for them next year.
Yeah, I too. I'm a big Adonis fan.
If not the starting third baseman.
Yeah. All right, so someone we do talk a lot about because there's very few bright spots, our boy Freddie Freeman. He had one of the better Julys for the team. He hit .292, .370, .573 with a .943 OPS, but hitting two triples, eight doubles, five homers, 27 strikeouts. So those are still there. But even more of note since the Cincinnati series, so 2 weeks now, not counting today, hitting, .354, .415, .646 with a 1,061 OPS, crushing it these past 2 weeks. So do we need to say anything more about Freddie, but thank God for him?
Yeah. Thank God he's back. I'm hoping that he becomes, consistent. I would rather the highs not be so dramatic and the lows not be so awful and just him be a consistent player, bat,
me too,
consistently all year long.
Because when the lows come, I get stupid and I start thinking he's injured and it gets just weird. I agree. I'd rather he would – and maybe with Kemp, at least for this season, maybe there's a little bit of relief there where he's not feeling the need to press as much. We'll see.
I want to see how many heads start popping off when we get a couple of guys on in the first inning and Kemp comes up and there's two outs and he strikes out and it's time after time after time.
We should prepare ourselves for that.
Yeah.
I mean, let's be honest. Justin had some of those stretches.
Oh, sure. And yeah. They're going to happen. But the guy does. He strikes out every third time he's at bat. So it's going to be there. And, you know, I mean, I was the chief proponent of getting rid of that. It just drove me crazy that they would strike out so much. You know, I mean, I couldn't handle the fact that, oh, well, they lead the league in home runs. Well, they've got, you know, 1,000 more strikeouts than everybody else too. And I hated it. So I'm sure it'll bring about my ire more than anybody else, but yeah. Sorry to go back to Kemp.
No, that's all right. So let's keep playing Who Had a Good July, since it's so much fun.
Woohoo!
Yes, and go. Let's play Who Had a Good July in Double A, and that's where, you know, obviously with the addition of Demerit this week, it brings into relief the pieces that are waiting in the wings. And obviously, there's some that we talk about a lot because we're very excited. And even I think there's still some people who are flying under the radar. But let's start with someone who we do talk a lot about, Ozzie Albies, and in his inaugural appearance in Who Had a Good July.
In the inaugural appearance of Who?
Yes, exactly. It's quite a moment.
Yes.
355, 438, 482, one homer, 13 RBIs, 15 strikeouts against 13 walks, which is also great. Two triples, 25 runs scored in 28 games. So, Curtis, you said earlier in the season, not to use your words against you.
Oh,
but
okay, you, wife.
That you did, well, you actually weren't on the show. You did email these in.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, you didn't think we'd see Albies or Swanson at all this season. You still think that's the case?
I still am going to stick by that. Maybe that's me hoping that they don't. I feel like if they come up this year, it's a rush. And there's just nothing to be gained from. I know that experience is something that you can only get playing at this level, and obviously that is something to be gained. So I shouldn't say there's nothing to be gained, but I don't feel like there's anything that they can really add other than excitement to a team that lacks it. You know, I mean, yeah. So if they come up, I'm excited. I'm excited. I'm excited about the future with these players, but I just don't see what the point would be.
I just think there's not. I don't know what the downside. I hear you, but you know they've gotten a lot. You definitely want them to play a lot, but maybe near the end of the season, just to get their toes wet, just to feel what it's like to be in a major league clubhouse at this level, and just get all that gone and behind them, so that then maybe they play winter ball, they come back, they have a great spring. And I know I'm way ahead of myself. Like, there's nothing happening in 2017.
But you think they're the starting middle infield next year, right?
I do.
Yeah, well, I mean, if that's going to be the case, I definitely want them up here playing some games just to get a feel of not just the, you know, the major league level talent, but just being a professional.
The routine, the day-to-day stuff, yeah.
Yep.
And, I really vacillate between who my favorite prospect is, if it's either Swanson or Albies. Those are the two. And right now for me, it's Albies. I just feel like he is going to be ready a little bit sooner. I think maybe his ceiling's a little bit higher. I think his versatility may be a little bit higher. And I just can't, you know, I can't be anything but excited by the numbers that he's putting up right now. And so let's take Dansby for his first time playing Who Had a Good July on the farm, or Double A, sorry. And, you know, for me, maybe this is one thing that has me leaning towards Albies right now is, Swanson had a Whistler-esque July. He, well, maybe not that bad. 241, 316, 361, striking out 21 times, only 10 bases on balls, two homers. So he's not there yet. I'm not, you know, this is obviously not concerning or anything, but it seems that Albies has got, you know, is a little bit hotter now, and I think probably a little bit more ready. Any thoughts there?
No, I mean, he's had a ton of hot and cold streaks as a player himself. So I thought I was trying to find it. I know I read that how well they played collectively since Albies was sent back to Double A to play with Dansby. So he's still a young guy. So I figure he's going to have his ups and downs as he goes along here.
Yeah. Still very excited. All right, and so then there's one prospect who for me is flying under the radar a little bit, Dustin Peterson, and also his debut performance in Who Had a Good July in double A. So this is a outfield prospect, third base prospect, 358, 402, 523 with a 925 OPS. One homer, 25 RBIs. Killing it a little bit as well. And a surprise. And it just, you know, the Braves have a lot of pieces. They got a lot of pieces. I mean, none of the, obviously not all these guys are going to turn into something, but they could be packaged and turned in, you know, traded for something. It just, the Braves, they've been much discussed about, you know, how well the Braves have rebuilt their farm system, but it just continues to surprise me just how deep and broad it is.
Yeah, and I mean, Dustin Peterson, I think that, you know, a lot of what I saw projected for him is a bench player, and to have a guy that can produce and be versatile like he can. I know he can play a couple of different positions. It's great to see him hitting.
Yeah. So let's go to Gwinnett real quick, and let's talk about, since we talked about Adonis, let's talk about Rio Ruiz, who's had an okay season. He's at 271, 356, 381 right now. He's been, you know, the last 7 days he had a really good stretch. He started really hot. But the last 90 days, he's only been hitting 245, 333, 335. Four homers in the last 90 days. He's only got six on the season. So for me, Curtis, you know, I'm not holding out a lot for Rio Ruiz right now. There are many other people in the farm who I think we'll see before him. Maybe he's a serviceable third baseman. I know he's hot and cold, but if I could be disappointed, I'm a little bit disappointed, and maybe my hopes for him have been diminished recently. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, I you figure that you want these guys, when they get to the AAA level, that they're kind of going to be ready to push into the majors. And,
yeah.
You know, he seems like he's still a little ways away.
Yeah, I mean, he's right at the fork in the road of career AAA player. Or maybe, and you know, maybe it's just more time and just figuring some stuff out. But you would hope to have seen maybe a little more progress by this point. I didn't realize I said maybe 15 times in that sentence. Sure. All right, Curtis, it's time for Shot in the Dark, and it's an exciting one this week. But before we get started, I want to share a word from our friends at Fan Essentials. So this is for our fans. How would you guys like to get all of your favorite Major League Baseball teams' merchandise, or just the Braves, delivered straight to your doorstep? If so, check out fanessentials.net. All you do is pick your favorite sports team, and every month you get your team's gear shipped right to your door. They find the sports gear so you don't have to. And each fan box comes packed full with some amazing gear. And it also makes a great gift idea. And I'm horrible at buying gifts. And online, I'm like, what do I get? If you know someone's a sports fan, this is a great gift idea. Prices are low. They start at just $34.99. So do it. Visit fanessentials.net. And if you want, use the promo code ABTSITD, ABTSITD, at checkout, and you get 30% off your first month, which is crazy. So visit fanessentials.net to get all the essentials you need.
Unless you buy Nats gear, in which case that is voided.
Yes, we actually track which team's gear you buy.
That's right.
Yes, unless it's to demolish and destroy and deface. So, Curtis, shots in the dark. So it's our crazy predictions for the week ahead. Before we look ahead, though, let's take a look back at our predictions for the previous week, and let's get the fan one out of the way. It was close. So this week's fan-submitted shot in the dark came from Spencer Edens via Twitter. Spencer predicted that former Brave Irvin Santana would throw 8-plus one-run ball, while the next night, Folty would throw 7 innings of at least 8 strikeout baseball. Thank you for making a complicated research one, and Curtis, thank you for picking that one. So,
yep.
So Santana actually went 9 innings and looked great, but gave up 2 runs and a loss, so strike one, Spencer. Folty, you didn't win, Spencer.
We'll just leave it there.
We'll leave it there. Folty pitched 5 1/3, 3 strikeouts. And there were some other crooked numbers in his
Did not there. Look yeah. good.
Did not look good. So let's look at what we predicted for this week. And just to set the stakes, Curtis, the months of June and July are on the line with tonight's outcome. Because right now I have a 1-point lead on both of you. So.
Well, I know I didn't get mine. So.
Let's get to it. Let's not kill the suspense.
Sorry.
You could really cut the tension to a knife, and
yes,
and then you just did. All right, so I predicted that the Braves were going to average less than 3.5 runs this week. They scored 25 runs through six games. I was wrong, so I was able to use my powers for good, but I did leave the door open for you and Steve to tie it. So Steve tried to cash in on the Fulte train as well, but was even bolder, predicting that Fulte would pitch a complete game shutout in Minnesota. And as our fan Spencer knows, that did not happen. So Stevie, out of the race. Curtis, let's pretend you didn't just say what you just said.
Well, you know, when I put all my stock in a Westminster Wildcat, he's supposed to come through for me. And this is now like three times that he's let me down.
Yeah. Well, you predicted that Gordon Beckham would hit two home runs. You were close. You were off by two because he did not hit any. So sorry. And I win June and July. And I will go back and edit in some amazing music. Woohoo! So on the season, Curtis, you won April. You and I tied for May. And I just won the last 2 months. So I'm in the lead with two wins, one tie. You've got one win, one tie. Stevie is still a fan favorite. And we've got 2 months to go. All right, so let's take a look at the week ahead, and we'll start with us. So Steve sent us his via Raven. He predicted by the end of the trade deadline, make Markakis gone, Puig in as a Brave.
That's just horrible.
Yeah, it leaves a bad taste in my mouth just even reading that. Curtis, what about you?
Well, I felt like I've been so positive this show, and I didn't want to let my fans down, so I'm going negative here. Matt Kemp, Matt newest Brave, Matt Kemp, savior Matt Kemp, piece one, phase two, bats under 200 for the first week in a Braves uniform.
Nice. Using your powers for good. So I'm going the other way. I choose hope, Curtis.
Ah, you always do.
I was in Philly last week. No, I wasn't. So I predict that Matt Kemp will hit two or more homers this week. I think the power is here. It's going to be a power outage or whatever the opposite of it is.
Outbreak.
Power outbreak. All right.
Isn't that right?
Yes. I'll take it. Homers or more. All right. So, Curtis, we're going to take a look at the week ahead in just a second. But first, a quick break. All right, guys, so this week coming up, three at home versus the Pirates and three in St. Louis against the Cardinals. Curtis, can you take us through the pitching breakdown?
Well, as we mentioned, the Braves are in quite a bit of flux right now. So it was sort of hard to – and frankly, so apparently are the Pirates because it was all over the map. So I'm
They're
sort of –
sellers at the deadline, a bit of a surprise.
Yeah, I'm trying to – I'll give the best that I can. So – because ESPN, the Braves, it's all different everywhere. So for the best I could get, Tuesday, Fulte. Fulte has two starts this week. Let's hope that they are both good ones. I have Tuesday, Gerrit Cole, who is really good. His ERA is 2.78. He's coming off a complete game three hitter, although he is 1-5 in his last six starts. He's 6-6 for the season, but I think that the Pirates have really let him down a lot. Wednesday, I have question mark for the Braves against Jeff Locke, who is the exact opposite. He is really bad. He is 8-6 with a 5.43 ERA. Although the Braves have struggled. It's funny because I thought, you know, the Braves haven't really played very well against lefties this year. And I look up the splits. They're equally as bad. Righties or lefties.
The Braves are bad this year.
Yeah.
Curtis, you should watch.
They haven't
the
really done well against lefties or righties.
Yes,
so
exactly.
Who knows?
Is there another option?
Yes. Looking for Jeff Locke to get back on track against the Braves on Wednesday or Thursday or Tuesday, whenever he might pitch. Thursday, maybe, is Tyrell Jenkins against Ryan Vogelsong, who, of course, pitched for the Giants for a long time and is actually coming. He was hit in a pit in the face by a pitch. It's horrible. He was on a 60-day DL, broke a bunch of orbital bones. So thanks for Ryan. It's great that he's back. He's not pitched a lot, so I'm happy that he has overcome this and he's making it back to Major League Baseball. That's good for him. So then we go.
And can we just want to take one beat? And then how about Tyrell Jenkins?
Came off his first win. He looked great. He had that one shaky start, I guess, in Colorado, but bounced back really well, which was fantastic. And it's exciting. I mean, you know, I keep throwing him out there. I'm sure he's on an innings count, but you know, let him reach it and see what you can get. He's been wonderful. He's exciting to see, and the kids love him because he wears glasses. He's a fun player.
Yeah.
So moving on to the St. Louis series. We get Tehran, who needs a good start against Jaime Garcia, who's not that great. He's lost 4 or 5. He's got a 7-8 record with a 4.30 ERA. He gave up 6 earned runs in his last start over 3 innings against the Marlins. The second game, again, for the Braves is a question mark against Carlos Martinez, who is the best pitcher for the Cardinals right now. 10-6 with 2.99, 17 earned runs over his last 10 starts. Sorry, I'm going through this faster now. We've been dwelling on this. Fulte with his second start, our old buddy Adam Wainwright, who was 9-5 with a 4.16, but really has pitched great. He started off really slowly and was not good to begin the year, but has been really good since then. 7-3 since the beginning of June. He's won 5 in a row and only given up 7 earned runs in those last 5 starts. So that's who we get.
All right. So coming off a 4-2 week, which we all were wrong on, I think I was 3-3. I think both you and Steve are 2-4, maybe?
No. Oh, that's right, because we swept the Twins.
Yeah.
God, unbelievable. We really needed to not do that. I really do want the number one overall pick. I know that I don't want the Braves to lose, but I really do want the number one overall pick.
I really do, too. Any thoughts on the 25th anniversary of the 91 World Series?
It's great. I'll never forget that. And I was thinking about where I was during all that stuff as all these players were out on the field. That's probably will be forever one of my most favorite Braves team.
In 2 years, if the Braves were to go essentially from worst to first, do you think it would be more exciting or less exciting than when they did at 91, or about the same?
I think it would be less, just because the Braves have had this history and have not been down. I mean, you think about where the Braves were for the bulk of the 70s and 80s.
Yeah, that's true.
Just so bad. And even when they made the playoffs in 82, they got swept. So they didn't win a playoff game. And then, you know, they sort of pushed in 83, but never got back. And they were just one of the worst franchises in baseball, frankly. And,
yeah. Compared to when 4 years ago or 3 years ago, we should have been in the postseason. And we were, right? I mean, there was the one where we just choked down the stretch and then we got annihilated by the Dodgers. All right. So anyway, let's not.
But they were saying, saying that the parade for the losing World Series team in 1991 had 950,000 people show up to it.
Nice. Yes. My dad has a box of Wheaties with the Braves on the front, but they printed in case the Braves had won.
Oh, nice. Yeah. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
I mean, the Braves might not have 950,000 people show up to 81 home games this year.
Yes. Yes. Or the ones next year. All right. So folks, Curtis, predictions for the week. So Steve wrote his in. He's 2-4. He likes the question marks this week for the Braves.
Turns out Tom Glavin and John Smoltz are pitching both of those games in their 1991 forms.
Nice.
I do not buy it. I'm going 1-5.
Yeah, me too. I think that the Pirates are in a bit of a disarray, but the Cardinals own us. And the Pirates play us bad, especially at home. So they're good against us. So I'm going 1-5 as well. All right, folks. So I did not say it. I forgot to mention, going back to Shots in the Dark, we need your Shots in the Dark so we can pick a fan favorite. And if we pick a fan, when we pick your Shot in the Dark that's submitted, we will give you a gift to fanessentials.net. So you will get a prize from them. We've sent out 3 or 4 this season and had good responses to that. So submit your Shot in the Dark before first pitch.
Tuesday.
First pitch Tuesday. You can use the hashtag ABTSITD, ABTSITD on Facebook or on Twitter. We will pick one and we'll go from there. ABT sit. All right. That's the show, folks. So thank you for listening. Remember, you can always find us at www.atlantabaseballtalk.com. where you can find past shows, read our blog, and post comments. You can find us at our new home at blogtalkradio.com. You can find us on Facebook, and you can follow us on Twitter at ATL Baseball Talk. Thanks again for listening, everybody, and go Braves!
Thanks for listening to Atlanta Baseball Talk, your weekly podcast for all things Atlanta Braves. To find new shows, to post in our forum, or to send a comment, please visit us at AtlantaBaseballTalk.com.
Had to admit the problem.